Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas, and his humble, oh-so-humble co-host, Crispy. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Good morning, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is Brilliant Ideas, and this is the Brilliant Ideas Radio Show. We welcome everyone here this morning to our show, and thank you for joining us each and every Saturday as we line up foodie people, line up talent, just line up, and try to put out a show for 90 minutes of food, fun, and frolic. And this morning, my humble, oh-so-humble sidekick, Crispy, hasn't shown up to the show. Literally, 3 minutes before the show, I had a blank screen and didn't know if the show was going to go on, but here we are. We made it, and we've got everything taped together, and the show is running. We have fun always here every Saturday morning and Friday night at Blog Talk Radio. Sometimes their system doesn't always work the way it's supposed to, but we managed to get through it. By the way, too, if you missed last night's show, we had Lee Yankee and the Hells Yeah Band, super blues, kind of a bluesy R&B type of band. They came on. Unfortunately, he was having problems with his cell phone. He was traveling to a gig in Tuscaloosa, but great, great music. If you didn't get a chance to hear the show last night, go back and listen. He's got some great music. Check out his stuff on his website, and also CD Baby and all the other music places where you can buy music. Great, great group, and we're glad that they could join us last night. Remember, too, that if you ever miss a show, we've always got every show archived there on Blog Talk Radio. You just go to blogtalkradio.com/brilliantideas, and then when you go to that particular site, it says archive shows. You can scroll through, listen to your favorites, or listen to the ones that you have not heard before, but they're always there for your listening pleasure. And I wanted to mention also that we are looking for sponsors. We go through 3 months of sponsorship, and what we try to do is rotate sponsors each and every 3 months, just so we give everybody a chance to be part of the show. And thank you for the support from all the sponsors we've had in the past. And in fact, we've got one of our old sponsors coming back. You guys probably remember us talking about it. It was actually our first sponsor, High Roller Vodka. And High Roller Vodka is coming back on as a sponsor again for 3 months. We're making a new ad and setting things up for the Christmas season, but check out High Roller Vodka. It's the sweet potato vodka. It's made in Northern California, and they'll be coming on as our sponsor, and we'll play their old ad now, and then I'll be back here shortly to talk to our first guest this morning, which is Liz Smothers. Liz Smothers is with the Julian Pie Company, and all I can say is amazing pie, and we'll get into that here shortly, but stand by here. His little ad from High Roller Vodka. Be back here to meet with Liz Smothers.
High Roller Vodka is the world's first and only premium vodka made from sweet potatoes. In 2011, High Roller Vodka won the double gold San Francisco World Spirits Competition. High Roller Vodka is made with carefully selected California-grown sweet potatoes distilled by hand in a process which creates a sophisticated, unique, elegant, smooth vodka. Life's a gamble. Your vodka shouldn't be. For more information, check out www.highrollerspirits.com. Is your website missing that extra zing? Do you need a radio commercial? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I can help you. Hello, I'm Christopher Trimble, and I am a voiceover artist. I offer these great services: website intros, corporate presentations, audiobooks, radio commercials, and much, much more. Check out my site, www.christophertrimble.com, or you can call 407-556-5506. Once again, that phone number is 407-556-5506. Making noise since 1970.
Yes, he has been making noise since 1970, and he's not making noise this morning with me as my sidekick. Somebody call that number, pick him up. And or if you're in College Park, Florida, or Orlando area, go beat on his door and tell him that we need him on the show. I don't know. He's probably sleeping in. He stays up late out there on the East Coast, so I'll give him a break. But everybody check out also High Roller Vodka. They've been a great supporter of our show, and interesting vodka made out of sweet potatoes, so check that out. And without further ado, I've done all my business I need to do for the moment. I'm going to bring on our first guest. And for those of you who don't live in San Diego and the San Diego area and may not be familiar with Julian Pie Company, all I can say is, oh my God, the best pies in the world. They are just the most amazing pies that you'll ever eat. And I have on the phone here, if everything is working like it's supposed to, Liz Smothers, which is the owner of Julian Pie Company. And Liz, good morning. Are you there?
Yes, good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming on this morning. We appreciate you being on our show. And I'll also say I appreciate your pies.
Well, thank you so much.
They are the best. I feel like those people don't know about your pies. I literally... It's like I go back home to my grandmother's when I eat your pies, and I have a local store here that sells them, luckily, which is about 15 minutes away. And I think I've probably gained a few pounds from eating Julian pies, and the apple pie, the standard, I guess the traditional apple pie is my favorite. But why did they have you on? Because I want everybody to know about it and know about your product and just say, if they haven't had one, they are missing a treat. And just wanted to find out from you, how did you get in the pie business and how did you make such great pies?
Well, it was not anything planned. We had made a major move across the United States. My husband was going to work for AT&T. And after making the big move, I needed to go to work and found a little position in Julian in a bakery. And the owner was blind, and his wife was legally blind, so they kind of turned the business over to me. So I made the product, I sold it, I kept the place clean. I just ran the business by myself. And another business came into town, a barbecue. This was 25 years ago, and they needed. He offered me a dollar more an hour to come and make biscuits and pie. So. I went along with it, and then another business came in, and another pie business, and wanted me to come home with her and teach her what I knew about pie making. And after this many, working for this many people, I kept gathering up little thoughts and ideas that, boy, if I had this, and I'd do that. But nobody, you know, wanted to listen to me. So I whined to my neighbor, and she introduced me to her sister, who was instrumental in setting up people in small business. So I contacted her. She took me by the hand. We found a little place on the edge of town, and it's just been a go from day one.
Now, how long? Now, so that was how many years ago when you actually started?
25 years ago.
Wow. And you've been making pies ever since.
Yeah.
It's an excellent product, and now you also have the place. You moved from there. You've got a second location where you're making the pies, and that's in Santa Isabel?
Yes, we kind of outgrew the production area in Julian, so we did open what we call the production store in Santa Isabel. That was in 1992, and started doing wholesale at that time. We had had so many requests and just couldn't do it in the little store.
Right.
So we have quite a few wholesale stores in the San Diego area and in Riverside County and across San Diego County.
Well, I always tell people, they say, well, where exactly is Julian Pie? And I say, well, you ride out to Ramona and then you turn left and you go out to in the middle of nowhere. And when you get to the main crossroads in Santa Isabel, Ella, that's where you are. That's the location. And
yes,
it's
we
almost
are.
Like
when you get to Ramona, you don't want to go left. You just shoot right straight through Ramona and come up to Santa.
Well, I come from a different direction, so I make that left.
Sure.
If you're coming straight from San Diego, yes, you do. You go straight through and go right into Santa Isabel.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's turned into almost like a travel destination, sort of a landmark now that you've got the pie place there.
Oh, it is. There's not much in Santa Isabel, a restaurant, a bread store, a grocery store, and us. So we are a destination.
Well, I wanted to mention, too, your website while we have you here on the phone. It's www.julianpie.com, and
right.
People can actually go there who aren't in the San Diego area and buy your pies online and have them shipped to them. Actually, next day or second day through Federal Express, and you pretty much send them anywhere in the United States, and I guess
we
you
do.
Send them
we
overseas
ship,
too.
Pardon me, overseas?
Yeah.
As we can, some there are restrictions on some, but we do ship some military, and other than that, yes, we ship all over the United States, and we ship out on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You could ship overnight on a Thursday, but. We have a great packaging system that seems to get the pies there, you know, kind of like they came out of the oven. It's kind of amazing.
they are amazing. So how the heck do you make each one taste like homemade? I mean, literally, it's amazing to me. I mean, I realize you do the quality control and check everything, but it's literally like my grandmother used to make apple pies, and it was literally the kind that she would sit out on the windowsill to let it cool. I mean,
well,
you're
absolutely right. It's definitely a quality control thing, and you know the bakers are trained to do a job that just has to be done. You know, like we like them to have them done, and each step just ensures that you know the pies are all going to turn out the same. It's been my thoughts that if you give someone a recipe, you're going to get 10 different pies when they're baked. So
right.
There's a lot to be said about handling, you know, all the old things that you hear about, the cold water, the handling, don't handle too much, this kind of stuff. Well, it's all true. Pie dough is very forgiving, but you have to do it right.
Well, you can tell the quality and the love goes behind each pie you guys make. Now, you say you have some distributors in different stores throughout San Diego. What's the list of stores that actually carry your product? I know the one here is Daniel's Market, but where else can people find them in San Diego?
Oh, let's see. We have lots of Albertsons, Stater Brothers. You would ask me. I wish I had the list in front of me. We have... 100 stores we deliver to, but the big ones, I guess, would be Stater Brothers and Albertsons.
Kind of interesting. You're like an icon here in San Diego. When you walk into these stores, you usually have a table set up that has your pies sitting on top of it and has a big sign that says Julian Pies. And literally, I've been there when they've arrived, and people will scramble and fight over the pies. So they're amazing, amazing. Now, I understand you actually have your own orchard, too, where you guys plant, I guess they call granny apples, is that right?
Well, you're probably thinking of Granny Smith apples. And
Granny Smith,
yes, we
right.
had our own orchard for many years, but 2 years ago I lost my husband, and so I sold the apple farm with the understanding that we get to buy the apples back from them and then of course, the area doesn't grow enough to literally keep us in business for the year. So we have a buyer that buys exactly what we need. And it's the main one is Granny Smith. And we make a sugar-free pie with Golden Delicious apples. So those two are the only two, other than during the time that Julian harvests, we take whatever, you know, they have available.
Right. Now, not to take any trade secrets or anything, but how many apples go in a standard pie?
It's approximately 3 pounds. So it makes a good size pie.
Yeah, it's the one thing I noticed, too, if people get your pies, when you pick them up, they're no light. They're heavy. The crust is amazing. And you can just tell that when you pick them up, it's like, whoa, there's a lot of stuff in this pie.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. We we have to measure all the ingredients, you know, for weights and measures for the state of California. So we have to keep them right up there.
You know, they are excellent. Now, also, I was reading in your information online on your website, and I think your son actually was the one who takes care of your Facebook page, and that's how I got in contact with you. But you're also not only are you in the pie business, from what I understand, you also work with like other small companies and startups and help people out who are trying to get going to business based on some things I read online.
Yes. I'm not quite as active as I used to be, but that's a fun thing to do, to help people, you know, get their own little pie shops going. And one of my students is Grand Traverse Pie Company in Traverse City, Michigan, and he's on his 20th store.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that really makes me proud.
So you say you're not doing it as much, but if someone's interested in
No, I had heart surgery a couple years ago, too, I just don't have that stamina that I had. But, you know, it's fun to talk to people on the phone even and, you know, give advice, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Now, we all know you make pies. And what I like to ask on the show is it kind of catches some people off guard, because what they do usually is they do so much in their own business and the products that they sell that they don't have any types of hobbies and things. But what I always ask people who come on the show, tell us something about you that maybe a lot of people don't know, that you have a talent. Do you sing? You play the ukulele or anything like that? You do things on the side to relax?
No, I don't play an instrument. You know, I have an opportunity now to work in the parts of the store that I never got to. You know, for many, many years, I was strictly in the baking and the quality control. So now I can mingle with the customers. I can take care of the gift section. Just things that are kind of fun now to do. So I'm learning fish.
Your apple pie all the way, American apple pie all the way.
Yeah, I've always said I'm certainly not an intellect, but I can talk all day on apple pie.
everybody always says easy as pie, but it's not that easy, is it?
Well, it depends on what you know about it. I guess that's since I was 4 years old working with my mother. I was the last of 8 kids, so I've always had my hands in pie. So for me, it's easy as pie, but I understand that it can be challenging.
Well, I've got a phone caller calling in who wants to speak to you, and I'm going to put him online here for a second. So hang on 1 second. Let me hit the button and get the caller. Good morning. This is Green Ideas Radio. You're calling in. Hello.
Good morning. It's Lori Bakey.
Good morning, Lori. How are you?
I'm good. I wanted to say hi to Liz for a moment.
Oh, hi. Thank you for calling.
Liz, I have to tell you, I'm the one from New Jersey who received your pies.
Oh, good. My goodness.
Oh my gosh. Unbelievable. But I have to tell you a really quick story.
Uh-huh.
I was actually talking on the phone with Brilliant, and he was going on and on about your pies. He was chomping in my ear, teasing me, these are so good. Oh, they're the best I ever had. So I thought, okay, I have to try them. And he's right. First of all, they weigh as much as me. They were moist. They're buttery. They're so flavorful. And
I appreciate that.
The original and the blueberry crumb.
Oh, uh-huh. That is a good pie. All the crumb tops are really good, and the crumb tops sell out, you know, way ahead of the regular pastry tops. People come in for the pastry, but go out with the crumb.
Oh, yeah, see why. Amazing. It was amazing.
Well,
the death cap literally.
She shared them with all her family. She was telling me that she has a very large family, and she was sharing pieces of pie and going around the neighborhood giving out pie. How many different people tested out the pies?
Well, I have there's six of us. So, but what's nice is I'm blessed to have all my brothers and sisters live within 5 minutes of each other. So I said, let me play delivery girl, and I'll bring them each just a little care package, and I dropped it off to them, and they could not believe it. So I'm going to tell everyone about your pie.
Oh, that
they
is so
really,
neat. Thank you for saying
that. But you know what, too, Liv, which is really nice is you when the pies first of all they, when the pies come, they're in perfect condition. They were perfect. And the thing is,
you know, we have a we have finally over the years found a way to do that, and it is amazing that they can get there in such good shape. I agree.
Yes, not a single crack on the top. But what's also nice is you send a lovely little story about the history with the pies.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. It was very nice. So I just wanted to call in and thank you and tell you.
Well, that's very sweet of you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Laurie.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, yep, there's somebody, a happy customer, and
I told her about
the pie, and she was just like, oh, I got to taste them. And I said, well, you've never had a pie until you've had the Julian Pie Company. So I think you got a lot of happy people who, when they eat your pie, they go back for second, third. So I had a lady who wrote me the other day. She said, oh, you're having Julian Pie Company on? She says, I go to Santa Isabel. I pick up four or five at a time. So it's you got to get
You know,
pride.
When I first into business and started making the pies, it was kind of amazing. Like, you know, you can make something that people actually want to pay you money for, you know, when you're going into business, like, wow, this is great. And so that's just more hype to do them the best you can. And I tell the bakers that this isn't the best pie you've made because the next one's going to be better. And we have a crew that's just outstanding.
Well, I appreciate you taking time this morning to come on our show, and I want to make sure everybody who's listening, if you're in San Diego, you've got to ride out to Santa Isabel and see the pie place and get yourself some pie, or you can get them at local supermarkets and stores here in the San Diego area, or go to julianpie.com, and you can order online and have the delicious pies delivered to your door. And like Laurie said, when they arrive, it's like they just came out of the oven. And we really appreciate, Liz, that you came on the show, and thank you, and keep us posted. You got any, before we let you go, you got any new pies up your sleeve, anything new, any new flavors coming out?
We have started the pumpkin apple crumb. That's just a real favorite. We use the Golden Delicious apples. They're just tiny little bits, and we, there's probably at least a cup of them per pumpkin pie, and then we put the crumb top from the Dutch apple on, and that's kind of a fun thing for the fall. And
yeah,
I just want to tell you, next weekend is the very first day of the kickoff for our season, October, November, December. And this is held just very short distance out of Julian at the Mengini Winery. And they do a lot of fun stuff all day and have pie and pie eating contests and things like that. But anyway, that starts this next Saturday. So every
weekend in
the next couple, 3 months, we'll be pretty busy. Come during the week, probably
October through December is probably your busy time because of
the holidays
and all that. Yep.
Thanksgiving being the peak.
Yeah, I bet. Well, thank you, Liz, for coming on our show, and keep making those pies. And I tell you what, I'll keep getting them over here at the local market. You can keep making them.
I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
You too. Bye bye.
Bye bye. There you go. Everybody, definitely check them out. I'm not kidding. It's the best pies ever. I've eaten them, and I've gained a little bit of weight because of it, but they are the best pies ever, and you won't find any better pie out there. We're going to take a brief break and then come back. We're going to be doing our food news. I have a little surprise today when it comes to food news. We're going to be changing it up a little bit and doing food news a different way, and think you'll like it. You guys probably get tired of me just sitting here babbling along reading food news. So I figured, well, it's time that we maybe do a little bit more and switch it up. So we'll be taking a brief break here. And if you can tell, I'm actually wasting time trying to get my system to work here. All right, here we go. We're going to take a break, and I'll play a little music from one of our past guests called Groovinators. This is called, it's an instrumental song called Hip Shake. We'll be back in about 4 minutes for the food news segment. Back. This is Green Ideas Radio. Thanks for joining us this morning. We also like to once again thank Liz for Smothers for showing up and being on our show with the Julian Pie Company. It was a great interview, and check out her pies. And now we're going to go to food news, and we've been doing food news now for, a couple of months, and everybody seems to like it. I get emails where people say, hey, keep doing the food news. We like that. We try to bring interesting stories to you that you may not know what's going on in the food world, and it turned out to be a pretty good segment. But I got tired of reading the food news and babbling on and talking. You hear me talk enough as it is each Friday and Saturday. So we decided to put a little twist to the food news, and we're going to start calling this segment now from this point forward. It's going to be called Food News Joyzy Style, and we're bringing on, everybody knows Laurie. She's going to be doing, Laurie Bakey is going to be doing the food news for us from this point on and kind of have a joyzy twist to it. And Laurie, you still there?
I'm here. Hello. Long time no talk.
Yeah, really. Well, that was, if anybody's listening, that was kind of a setup, everybody. We had, she really did have the pies, and she loved the pies. But I told her to call in and tell Liz how great the pies were, and they are the best pies, right?
Unbelievable. And that crust.
I don't
eat crust of the pie. I usually leave it, but I didn't leave it that time. Nope.
No, in fact, you know what? I actually, the crust itself, it's almost like you want to eat the crust first.
I know. It's flaky and buttery. Oh,
so
it's a good thing I was trying it. I would have had about, 3 pounds on the next day from all that pie.
So we're bringing you on. We're going to be doing this segment now to get a new voice. And everybody got tired of hearing me talking about it. So we're going to do this food news Joyzy style. And that's why we have brought Laurie. And so, Laurie, here's your debut. What kind of food news Joyzy style do you have for us today?
Well, first of all, when you're from New Jersey, we don't say Joyzy. Everyone outside says it. So, but it's okay. I'll let you say that. Crispy's not here.
Well, I know. You don't say it, but that's how it sounds.
No, it sounds normal to me. Everyone else sounds has an accent. I couldn't log on to Blog Talk, so I'm assuming Crispy's not here?
Crispy's not here this morning. I don't know where he is. He's hiding out in his bomb shelter somewhere in Florida. You know, he told me the other day he goes to bed at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes sleeps till 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon when he does that. So my guess is right now he's snoozing. His snooze alarm, he probably hit it 5 or 6, 7 times and didn't wake up. So, yeah,
well, no pie
he didn't show.
No pie for him.
No pie for him. All right, what kind of food news do you have?
Don't wave it around his nose while he's sleeping. That'll wake him up.
What kind of food do you have today? First,
I just want to say thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. And you know I'm going to do my best to always share fun and informative news to all your listeners.
Okay,
now,
yes.
This caught my attention, and really, I'm kind of curious to ask your opinion about this once I run it by you. Yesterday, I was watching the Today Show with Kathy Lee Gifford and Hoda Kotb. I don't know if you... It's kind of a girly segment, so I don't know if you watch
it. Is Kathy Lee still on TV?
She does, like, this after segment after the Today Show. So,
oh, okay.
And it's cute. Like, they talk about wine. It's funny because they'll be tasting wine real early, and they'll be talking about it. And it's just kind of a nice little segment. But they do this thing called Hot Topics of the Day. And then
right.
I was just curious to see what you think, because one of the subjects included a new study that showed more men want women to pay half on the first date. So if you guys ask a girl to a restaurant and the bill comes, they feel that she should pay her half.
Really?
Yeah,
well, I'm old fashioned from the days when you as the man pay for the dates, and so you know my answer to that is it doesn't make any sense to me. But I know there's a trend there because my own daughter has that same situation. But the problem is she ends up paying for all of it, but we won't go there.
Yeah, that's it's funny because I'm old fashioned too. I agreed with Hoda because she was saying that if you pay on the first date, then you go on to like the next date, like what happens thereafter? Does that mean that the girl's just always going to pay her way now? and you start saying, "Well, are you going to pay today? Am I going to pay this time?" It gets awkward. Like,
I don't like that. Now, of course, I guess people who are into equal rights will say, "Oh, yeah, well, that makes sense. Half and half. Everybody's equal." But I'm old-fashioned, so if we go on a date, I'm paying for it. I guess that's a new way things are now.
Yeah. Also, they talked about a new trend of tipping waiters and waitresses, and it's 25% to 30% average.
Really?
Yes, that's what I said.
Well, I read an article just recently. I think I read it. I actually did. I read it on the show here that they found the study that if waiters and waitresses wear red, like a red rose or a red top or something, that increases their tips as much as 10% or 15% more. But you're saying the average right now is
25% to 30%. Yeah.
Wow.
Now here I'm thinking, oh, I'm a big tipper. I always, without a doubt, even with the worst service, I would tip 20%, and then 25 if they're really nice. But I don't know. I sold real estate for years in the 80s and 90s. I don't think a lot of people know this, but at the same time, for extra money, I waitressed. So I always had a soft spot, you know, when it comes to tipping. Plus, you know,
right.
I know they rely on that money for, you know, they rely on those tips. So
I calculate 20. I do 20% because it's just easier to calculate in your head.
That's true.
When you get into 15%, you got to carry the one and subtract the two and divide it by four.
Oh,
it's just too crazy.
So
the bill is 20 bucks, you know, $4 is real easy.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, one of the articles, this is the first article I was going to talk about. It's a good article, I thought, because I love steak. It's about steakhouses. Actually, do you have a favorite type of steak?
I have a favorite type of steak. I think I'm probably a ribeye guy.
Oh, yes, that's me. Absolutely. It's got to be a ribeye. Oh, but anyway, it says here that economic ups and downs are giving would-be diners at U.S. steakhouses indigestion. I was cracking up when I read that title. That's good. In an interview from Chief Executive Officer Tillman J. Fertitta, he is quoted as saying, "This year definitely has been more bumpy for the more than 100 fine dining establishments owned by Landry's, which took Morton's Restaurant Group." Oh, and by the way, have you ever eaten at a Morton's?
Have I ever eaten at a Morton's? Yeah, when someone else was buying.
Does that matter? No, but aren't your potatoes huge?
Oh, giant. They have, I mean, everything is like jumbo size when you go there. Of course, so is the bill, but.
But also, they also own Vic and Anthony's Steakhouse, which is I've eaten there many times. It's in the Golden Nugget in Las Vegas, but you would love it. It's all Vegas. But what they say is, anyway, the revenue at these restaurants has been more erratic in 2012 than last year, as eating out has become an emotional decision. Even for the affluent consumers and corporate customers, said Malcolm Knapp, a New York-based consultant who created the KnappTrack Index of these monthly restaurant sales and guest counts.
Okay.
And he said it's a very uneven market for these establishments. It's easy to go to a fancy restaurant if you're spending somebody else's money, like you just said.
Which is what I just said.
But if your expense account is cut by 20%, you'll go somewhere else that costs less. And adding that expense accounts are one of the first expenditures business owners will target if they become more cautious about the economic outlook, which we know. That's the first thing they take away, is there?
Well, you know, you say it's emotional. I imagine that some of those expensive places we just mentioned, when the bill comes, it is emotional. I've actually seen grown men cry. I actually went to a place like that. This is a true story. And it was a business meeting, and there was 8 of us there, and I won't mention the establishment name. The food was excellent, but I won't mention the name. But anyway, of course, we had some wine and some other things that went along with it, but the bill came, and it was like
$1,150.
Wow. And I saw the guy get the bill, and he turned as white as a sheet, and he put it on his credit card. But I could just imagine him trying to explain to his boss what? The next day on his expense report about that bill.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, okay, so next I have, oh, this is just a little tidbit I found, and I thought of you, Brilliant. Actually, everyone will know that how much you hate chocolate.
Oh, yeah, I hate chocolate. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Especially dark. But no, actually, dark chocolate is more filling than milk chocolate and lessens cravings. I was just talking to my brother Jimmy about this yesterday, about dark chocolate, how it's good for you. Because he was asking me about that. He likes, you know, the milk chocolate. But I said, no, you have to go to the dark. But we have known for a long time that this is healthier to eat, that it's healthier to eat dark chocolate. And new research shows dark chocolate is far more filling than milk chocolate, lessening our craving for sweet, salty, and fatty foods. In other words, eating dark chocolate may be an efficient way to keep your weight down over the holidays. And Christmas is just around the corner, and I'm already playing.
Yes, it is. Speaking of that, that's true. The more I think about it, I mean, I've gotten to where I like dark chocolate better than milk chocolate. I've got, at first, it's kind of, people have to get used to it because it's not as sweet. But you're right. It seems the craving goes away when you eat dark chocolate, I think, more than, matter of fact, milk chocolate, I think it makes you want to eat even more. I mean, you get a Hershey's bar, the regular milk chocolate, you eat one of those, you're ready for another one. But the dark chocolate does fill you up.
It's rich. Yeah, I agree with that. Well, I've never been a milk chocolate when it comes to, it's weird. I'm not a big sweets person, like sugary person. I would go more for the cheese. I'm the salty, the cheese, the wine, the chips more. I mean, if there was a piece of cake, I would go for the cheese. But when it comes to dark chocolate, no, it's my weak. That's my weak spot too.
Well, you go for the cheese. I'm going for the chocolate.
Okay, you got it. And here's a really, I found this pretty interesting. How many times would you say you run to the supermarket per week?
Well, usually I drive, but I probably go. I don't run. I go.
Maybe you should run. After eating all that pie,
maybe.
Yeah,
I should run. I probably go. I actually stop in the store literally. I bet four to five times a week.
There you go. I know. But this is what they say. Weekly supermarket shopping is not enough. Mothers now make 19 trips to pick up food a month. 68% run out of daily essentials. Now,
I believe it. I mean, you run in. Yeah. Here's what happens to me. I run in to say, get dog food. And then when you get the dog food, and then you know that, oh, look, chocolate's on sale. So then you buy chocolate, then you go and, oh, look, they have pork steak and pork chops for sale. Next thing you know, I go from getting dog food to a whole cart full of food, but I'm probably in there at least four or five times a week. So that makes sense. I think that's true.
That's exactly. Absolutely. That's exactly what the survey said. People run in here. I'll read what they had to say. It says, the days of making a big weekly splurge on supermarket goods is well and truly over after it emerged that mothers now make 19 dashes to the supermarket every month.
Wow.
Research reveals hectic schedules, unannounced guests, and hungry kids mean it is impossible for mothers to limit their shopping to one trip a week. This study found that mothers typically now carry out 3 big supermarket shops each month and make an additional 9 dashes to the shops to replenish the food cupboards. 8 to 10 moms say they often buy things they never planned to purchase. That's what you were just talking about.
Yep.
Almost 9 in 10 moms admitted there are some weeks they run to the store every single day for food items. No matter how efficient a mom is, the study proves life throws in the unexpected. A study of 2,000 mothers revealed that half had to run back because they forgot to buy certain items.
That happened to me just the other day. I went in and all my list was beer, dog food, crackers, and rug cleaner, because if you put the dog in, you get what I'm talking about. So I went in there, and I went in and I got 3 out of those 4 items and completely forgot the crackers. So then I had to go back later that day to get the crackers that I needed. So, yeah, I think what happens is, of course, I got ADHD, but when you go through the store, you start seeing other things and then you forget. So I do usually write it down, but this time it was so bad I actually forgot the list and left it at home. So.
Actually, that's not true, though. I know you have a you have an amazing memory. I'm the one. I don't even know what day it is. I'm like, where am I?
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I've actually been to the store twice in the same day just because I'm stupid and forgot something. But, yeah, I can see that. You know, they have the Costco's and the Sam's Clubs and all those places. And I used to shop at those. And you bulk up and you buy a whole potload of things and then you put it in the cupboard and then half the time you don't use it and it goes bad. So I like the small shopping spree myself.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I don't have kids, so it's easy for me just to run out here and there and pick up a few things. And, you know, I don't have to have a lot of stuff in the house for the kids. My sister, Susie, is always running out for something because she's got two kids and then she forgets something and then she forgot their, you know, something for school for their snack or whatever. So I could see that with the mothers.
Yep. I think our buying habits are changing just like you said because of everybody's busy schedules.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And they also talked, I didn't mention this, but they also talked about a lot of them do run, like you just said, they might run to the main supermarket, then they'll run to a specialty store for something. So maybe they run to two or three other stores during the week to pick up, like, a vegetable stand for something. So, yeah. A lot of gas.
All right, well, we've milked that. Get it milked. We milked that one enough. What's your next story?
Anyway, you. Okay. Do you like Pop-Tarts?
You know, I used to eat Pop-Tarts. I mean, literally, when I was younger, high school, college, mm-hmm. I mean, my favorite was the cinnamon Pop-Tart, the one with the frosting on top. But I haven't eaten a Pop-Tart. I couldn't tell you when.
I was going to say the exact same story. That's so funny. Growing up, yeah, we had the – I always liked the strawberry with the icing. I wasn't a big Pop-Tart person, you know, because they were kind of dry. But, yeah,
right.
I did eat them quite a bit, and I couldn't tell you the last time I had one either. So, anyway, Kellogg goes back to school in effort to boost Pop-Tarts.
Hmm.
I know you like me to always mention sometimes who does the article, so I'll do that. By Jonathan Baer, NBC News contributor. Kellogg is aiming for the college crowd with its new line of toaster pastries in school colors, which I thought that was kind of cute. Cranford, where I'm from, blue and gold. I don't know how gold it looks, but Kellogg is trying to breathe new life into its venerable Pop-Tarts, which are battling a tough sales environment as consumers demand healthier options and increasingly eat their first meal away from home. The Battle Creek, Michigan-based company is the nation's biggest cereal maker, and they're making an effort to reach one of its prime markets for the toaster pastries, which are adults 18 to 34. So that probably tells you why we're not grabbing them right now. We're out of.
Yeah, I'm just a year above that level, so doggone it.
Yeah, me too. I'm a half a year. Kellogg has said the promotions have been a success. But for health-conscious parents, Pop-Tarts might be a tough sell against trendier options such as Greek yogurt. This was I was surprised at reading, which has been surging in popularity. Now, I grew up on Lebanese, which people don't know. I'm half Lebanese, so I grew up on Lebanese, which is a type of yogurt. And I had the Greek olives with it, olive oil, Syrian bread. But I can't imagine that people are going for Greek yogurt.
Me either. I guess I'm not really cultured. That was another pun, but I've never actually had Greek yogurt, I don't believe.
Well, the Lebanese yogurt, I think, I like it better. It's a little, how do I describe it? To me, it's a little more condensed. So.
Right.
Yeah, but it's just also what I grew
up on. So what you're saying is yogurt is outpacing Pop-Tarts, and so Kellogg is saying this has got to stop?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Thank you for clarifying that.
In a nutshell, that's what your story's about, right?
Should I? Is my segment off? Is this my hint to hang up? Are you doing the
no? That's just my kind way of saying, okay, so long.
Well, some varieties of Pop-Tarts carry 200 calories and 13 grams of sugar in a single pastry. A lot.
It is a lot. But hey, they are good. They are good. Even though I haven't had them in years, they are good. Like I said, the cinnamon one with that brown sugar frosting top, oh man. Put the two of those in toaster at night, throw on a couple of scoops of vanilla ice cream. That is a dessert that is happening.
Oh, real healthy, yeah. Mm-hmm. Healthy than lemon yogurt. Anyway, Pop-Tarts has teamed up with the universities of North Carolina, Michigan, Georgia, Florida to produce toaster pastries in the school colors. And it says, while kids under 18 are twice as likely to consume the toaster pastries as adults, many food companies, including Kellogg's, have adopted guidelines limiting the marketing of sugary products to children, which we know they're trying to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the police, yeah. Yes, we know.
Yeah. So, okay, moving on. Eat your kale. You like kale?
Eat your kale. Well, when I say kale, the first thing I think of is my grandmother making collard greens and spinach and that type of thing. And kale, I never was a real fan of. I mean, I can eat it if you throw in enough bacon and pork and another. But you're going to probably tell me that kale is very, very healthy for you and has these nutrients in it. And then I just told you I throw bacon and pig products in it that probably ruin it, right?
No, I agree with the bacon.
Oh, okay.
You have to throw this article away now. Who cares about it?
What? No, I guess, what is your story about? I assume it must be good for you, right?
It is. No, it's really, actually, it's really, really good. It says, it turns out there's quite a bit of science behind this superfood hype. Kale is rich in so many different things, says registered dietitian and nutritionist Cheryl Harris. It's an excellent, potent source of vitamin K, A, C, fiber, and carotenoids, and that's just the start. It says research has also shown that kale contains 45 different flavonoids. It's pretty amazing. It's some powerful
stuff.
Well,
I'll make sure when I run to the store today on one of my multiple trips, when I forget things, I'll pick up kale.
Jump on some kale while you're running, yeah. No, actually it says here, kale stands out because it has the broadest range of antioxidants and it has also the highest level of several specific ones that are vitamin K, and it has a type of vitamin E that seems to be heart healthy. And it's shown to lower cholesterol, may reduce the risk of certain types of cancer. And although there is evidence that a person's specific genetic makeup also comes into play, we know that. A new laboratory study found that kale extract inhibits the production of existing colon cancer cells. So eating kale revs up your body's natural detoxification ability.
Well, I can just see all the kids in America just loving that story. All right, kids, eat your kale.
One more little tidbit on that one. It says, still, it's probably best not to go overboard with kale and to simply integrate it into an overall healthful diet with your fruits and vegetables because moderation. It's all about moderation. Yeah.
Yes, it is. And you can't have too much kale. Or can you?
you can never have enough bacon.
That's true. So what other stories you got up your sleeve?
Okay. My favorite. Love, love, love avocados.
Oh, yes. Well, in California, you know that we are the avocado capital here in San Diego. So what are you going to tell me about avocados?
Well, avocados breaking out of guacamole to become a produce star.
Okay.
Waitress at the Perkins restaurant said they were out of avocados. Nicole Breedlove walked out, got one from her car, and sliced it at the table. I was getting the salad for the avocados, says the 43-year-old Silver Spring, Maryland mother, who was on a road trip with her family. It's the substance of the meal. The avocados
are good.
They really, my dad has, he thinks I have to eat it with lime and cracked salt and pepper. I said, no, just give it to me. It doesn't need anything. Oh, you got to have the lime.
Here in San Diego, we have avocado groves, and right now, matter of fact, I was riding on the road yesterday, and they're starting to fall off the trees, so they're laying out in the middle of the street and gathering up avocados, and got home and cut it open and just ate one right there in the kitchen. So, yeah, man, avocados are the best, and they're good for you, too.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I had read one time, they said if you're stranded on a desert island and you need to keep one thing with you, they said it's an avocado.
You don't have an avocado tree on that strand on that island, you're in trouble, I guess. Then what do?
And you make a soccer ball with a face on it.
There you go, and then right. You make a big movie.
Okay. What was that movie? I forget the name of that.
I don't remember. It was a stupid movie, though. But anyway, I think it was called Castaway or something like that.
Castaway, yes. I think it was Castaway, right. Anyway, getting off the subject, the avocado is experiencing a sharp rise in sales in grocery stores and casual restaurants. Anne-Marie Schacker on Lunch Break looks at how the industry got behind this rise and why consumers are responding and embracing the idea of the healthy fat. Not long ago, avocados were beloved in Super Bowl guacamole, but seldom encountered the rest of the year. Now the fruits are having a mass market breakthrough as supermarket sales surge and restaurant chains spread them and slice them on sandwiches and salads. They are everywhere now.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you before I interrupt you there for a second. In New Jersey, what do you pay for an avocado?
Oh, my gosh. They're not like California. I'm tempted to say like $3.99. They're up there.
Wow. You know, we can get avocados here for $5 sometimes. Right now, the big ones you can get $2 or $3 for a dollar. The smaller ones you can get $5 for a dollar. Even I've seen them less. You can buy big bags of them on the side of the road. They got these guys who pull over with their pickup trucks and sell bags and bags. Like when you can buy 100 avocados for like $5. So
wow. Well, you know, when I was in Vegas, they were really cheap too. Sometimes like they would have them for 99 cents or 79 cents for one. Yeah.
And you paid how much out there? $3.99 for one avocado?
$3.99, huh? Yeah. Yep. Oh, the peppers, everything's
wow.
Really, really expensive. Yeah, it's, you're right, it's much cheaper on the West. So, but then again, you know what? They pump our gas here in New Jersey. I don't have to get out of my car.
Well, hey, I tell you what, you keep that. Yeah, I'll eat the avocados, you let somebody else pump your gas.
Okay. And with that rain, it is nice.
So what else? You got anything more interesting about avocados?
Why, you want to cut me off now? Is my time over?
Yeah, that's like, move along, hurry up, Lori, hurry up. We got other...
Okay, I had a nice little article. Okay, let me finish. I'll just scroll down and come to the bottom. What does it say? Okay, real quick. The pressure's on.
Now I've messed up your whole gig, right?
No, I'll just do this real quick. It says here, it's the kinds of fats that we as nutritionists are pushing, says Barbara Davis, a registered dietitian, and she's the vice president at Health Focus International. Nutrition, though, is just one slice of avocado's appeal. They taste so good, and they have a creamy mouthfeel. That is
yes,
so critical
is.
To brand influence and acceptance. It's rare to find foods that taste so good and that are actually good for you. There you go. On that note, am I done?
Yeah, on that note, you're done. So the bottom line is your New Jersey style food news is we should eat more kale. We should eat more avocados.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the story, we should probably help Kellogg's and go out and buy more Pop-Tarts.
No, you're overage for that.
Oh, that's right. I was in the age group that shouldn't buy that. And then when you go out to buy steak, get ready for an emotional experience.
And have to open the chocolate, dark chocolate at the end.
That's right, the dark chocolate is more filling. So there you go, folks. There's the headlines for the day. Laurie, we appreciate you coming on, and I wasn't too tough on you, so you're going to be doing this every Saturday for Food News, Joyzy style. And get us some more great stories and come back next Saturday and just spread the food knowledge.
Absolutely. Thanks so much again. You take care.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. All right. There you go. So that's going to be our segment. It's Better Than Me Talking, Reading the Stories. And we'll be doing that every week, our food news for the week. And we're going to be taking a break. Our next guest is Redneck Incorporated. They're a cool band, just cut their new songs and CD, and they're going to be coming on here after we take a break, and I I'm going to play one of their songs as we go to break. And we come back, we will have a couple of folks from Redneck Incorporated. Everybody hang tight. This is their song. It's called Exactly Different. Be back here right after the song in about 3.5 minutes.
She like a tornado coming. I'm like a mobile home. There ain't no use in running through the wind when it's raining in the storm. My falling in love is falling apart at the seams. I woke up from a nightmare at home that I thought was a dream. We can't get along. We just disagree. Somebody new with a little sensibility. Always hesitant to find. I'm always wrong, you're always right. I'd be trading you in for someone a little more on my side.
Exactly different.
Candlelit dinners that night and a weekend from bed. The stronger the pain. Cash it in, pull the plug, say goodbye, send it all down the drain. We can't get along. We just disagree. I'll be looking for somebody new with a little sensibility. Always identify.
Incorporated to our show this morning. If everything's working like it's supposed, I should have two of you on the line here. Good morning, guys and gals.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello. How are you guys doing? You there?
I'm doing pretty good. Am I on the line?
Yes, you are. Who's talking right now?
This is Joe.
Hey, Joe. How are you doing?
Aaron. Good.
Hey, Aaron.
Hi. How you doing?
All right, welcome to the show. First of all, I got to say, love the band name, Redneck Incorporated. As a matter of fact, that should have been my corporation years ago. So, how long have you guys been known as Redneck Incorporated? And I guess what I'll do is I'll call on you so you know who I'm talking to. Joe, how long have you been in Redneck Incorporated?
Well, first off, I just want to start by saying I love pie. So that was awesome. Right
there. So do I.
Who doesn't? About 3 years.
Okay.
Even known as Redneck Incorporated.
And is there five of you in the band? Is that correct, or is it six?
There are six.
Six. And you guys have been. Where are you guys located, Joe?
Basically, for ease of explanation, Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay, Cleveland, Ohio. So you play local clubs and those events there in Cleveland?
Yeah, we pretty much play mostly in about a 100-mile radius around, you know, the Cleveland area, you know, Columbus at times, up New York a little bit, some Pennsylvania, you know, that kind of thing, just all over. But we primarily play, you know, a lot of the clubs around, you know, the Cleveland area.
Well, that's great stuff. And I know, Aaron, you and I have been emailing back and forth, and you've been trying to get your music all put together for the show. So this is all new stuff as far as these songs. And I guess you guys have cut your first CD, is that right?
We're just about
Not actually. Yeah.
All right, George, it's just Aaron's turn.
I'm sorry.
No, yeah, we're just about to. We're finishing up some songs and trying to get everything nice and tight. And, we're hoping to have something ready before Christmas to launch the CD. We've got a lot of songs we've got to go through and figure out.
Now, these three that you sent to me, I've got three here that we're going to play today. Are these songs that you guys have written or someone else has written for you? How's that all work?
That is Joe's territory. He is the songwriter, composer, everything in the band.
All right. Well, Joe, what's your inspiration for the songs that you sent to me? I've got here Exactly Different, which is the one we just played, and then get you some of that and Lifetime Guarantee. Did you write all three of those songs?
Yeah, I wrote them all. Basically, it depends on different songs, you know, the inspiration. Sometimes, you know, a lot of times I'll draw from some personal experiences with myself or friends, things in the past, things I'm going through now. And a lot of times I just try to put myself in a character's mind, be the character and, you know, just not even, you know, be detached from what I might be going through now, you know, because if you try to just write all from just what you're going through, you know, unless you have a really messed up life, you're not going to have a lot of material to draw from. So.
Well, I should be a songwriter then.
See? They write the memoirs at least so someone can draw off of them.
Oh, man. Could I write the songs that make the whole world cry? Well,
that's
let's play
a good
another
title.
One of your songs that... wouldn't that be a good one? I think that's kind of stealing somebody. Who wrote that? Was that... Barry Manilow?
Isn't that Barry Manilow? Well, I don't think Barry wrote it. I think someone wrote it for Barry, but yeah.
All right, let's play another one of your songs. The one I'm going to play next is called Get You Staff, and then we'll come back and chat about your website, your CD, and some of the things that you're doing. Everybody hang tight. This is, like I said, I love the name Redneck Incorporated, and the song is Get You Some of That.
Ain't got a dollar in my pocket, I must have rocked it last night. But there's a warm breeze blowing, I can't remember her name. And these mismatched lip flops don't feel the same. Baby, get some of that.
Jimmy Buffett sound to it with the steel drums behind it and kind of a, I feel like I'm the islands.
Yeah, that was the vibe we were going for. our drummer plays the steel pans, so I was like, well, I got to write a song. We have, you know, some steel drums in there, you know, so.
I like that. It just has that sort of that tropical feel to it. I feel like I need to get up and eat some pineapple. But by the way, those are maybe just joining us. We have Aaron and Joe from Redneck Incorporated on here with us and playing some of their music. So, Aaron, I have to ask you real quick. I noticed you're the fiddle player, right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. So how long have you been playing fiddle?
I've been playing fiddle for the violin for probably about 25 years.
Wow.
And learned my great-grandfather actually made the violin that I play now.
Wow.
So I started very young in orchestra all through school and high school, and then Joe has always been into music and bands, and he said, you know, hey, let's start a country band. So I picked it up and started learning fiddle, and it's a completely different style of how you play that,
yes.
And it's been a lot of fun and a lot more freedom with it, and I'm loving it.
Yeah, because, you know, when you're called Redneck Incorporated, you can't call it violin anyway. It's got to be a fiddle.
Oh, yes. Has to be the fiddle.
I saw it online the other day. It said, how'd it go now? It says, there was just two guys in a canoe paddling. It says, paddle faster. I hear banjos. So that's what I always think of. So what is the band, Joe, what's the band got planned in the upcoming next few months? You think gigs you're playing there in the Cleveland, Pennsylvania area?
Yeah, actually we do. It's a little lighter. The summer's our busiest time, and we do like 3 or 4 shows sometimes a week throughout the whole summer. We only got a few coming up for the fall, about 4 or 5 booked right now. In fact, that's really Aaron's territory on that one. I'm buried in the studio writing, so, you know. But,
Aaron,
care of all the bookings.
Aaron.
Yeah.
We'll let Joe write the music. You tell us about where the band's going.
Exactly. It's a good team we have here.
Yeah.
We're playing a country club called Kickin' Country. It's a great place in Bolivar, Ohio, Southern Ohio, and great country fans out there. And we're scheduled there several times. And another place called the Tap House in Cleveland. So all over. The best thing to do is to go to our website. I've got our complete schedule up there. Any news, updates, I'm constantly on there changing things and adding things. So that's definitely the best place is our website.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the website I'll mention, we have a link here on the show for the website. It's www.redneckincmusic.com. You can click on that and find out more about the band, where they're going, and about their music. And so who's the members of the band? You said you have six. So who are all the players in the band?
Yeah, we have Joe and I. Joe is the singer and bass player. I'm a singer and fiddle player. We have our drummer, Scott, our electric guitar player, KB, our acoustic guitar player, Chris, and our piano player, Rob.
Okay. And, okay, now, you know, you guys know you're on a food show, so I have to ask a couple of food questions. Are anybody in the band, are you a barbecue, griller, cook, chef, do anything in the kitchen?
Barbecue is my first love in life.
All right. Hey, you're my kind of man. You can come see me anytime. You just did music to my ears.
Yeah, anything barbecue, I mean, pretty much you barbecue it, I'll eat it. So
he makes some amazing ribs.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You got a secret recipe, Joe?
Not really a secret recipe. I mean, to the connoisseurs that like to smoke it and spend all day, I mean, that's great. It works.
If you have all day, to waste,
yeah.
It's great, right?
Yeah, and $1,000 smoker, I guess, but you know, I just slow bake them. You know, I just slow bake them. I cover them, slow bake them. I just, you know, season them up to, you know, to taste, you know, make them real tender. And sometimes I get creative. I've made my own sauce from scratch, but usually I just take a couple brands and mix them together. Just, you know, but you know, half the time it's better than what I can buy around here. So you know, it's, you know,
well, it's funny.
I'm happy about it,
because I'm actually working on a product now of a sauce that we've been working on for a couple of years, and we've had our ups and downs with it. But I think I'm gonna change the name. I'm gonna call it Secret Sauce, because everybody always says they use Secret Sauce, and that would be a promotion every time they say it.
That's good.
So
guerrilla marketing.
We'll go back. That's right. Make sure everybody's marketing for us. So the CD you're still working on, you're hoping to have it come out by Christmas time. And what's the CD called?
Yeah, well, as of right now, we don't have a title for it. It might just be called Get You Some of That. It's really just a four-song CD that we're doing, just a kind of like a pre-release. I've got a bunch of material written for full length that shooting for the spring on it. And, I mean, I'm doing that, plus I'm writing with some other people around here and trying to get just the songwriting career going as just a songwriter and to pitch and do all that stuff down in Nashville. But but this CD should be out within a month or so, and then we're working on I got a ton of new material for the full length album that we're hoping to shoot for the spring. So that's the problem with a songwriter. Your best song is the one you're just about to write. So it's, you know, you keep trying to work, and I just keep writing and keep writing.
Well, it's good. It's good stuff. I've enjoyed what you've sent to me. And what we'll do here is I'm going to play the other song that I've heard called Lifetime Guarantee. Is there a story behind that song?
There's not a big time story. It's just really about, you know, somebody in a relationship that's kind of putting off the inevitable as far as like the marriage thing. And, you know, they've been in a relationship for a long time, and he's just basically saying, hey, it's about time. We just, you know, we just do this thing and get married, you know? So he says, promises, you know, he's got a lifetime guarantee with him. So, yeah.
Or as you say in Redneck Incorporated world, let's get hitched.
That's right. might as well just get hitched. We're living together anyways, right?
All right, we're going to play Lifetime Guarantee, and we'll come back and chat with you folks for a few more minutes. And everybody,
okay,
Hang tight. This is Redneck Incorporated, and we'll be back right after the song.
Girl, I know it ain't much, but hopefully
little ring will do. Let's bet on you and me together. We'll walk the line the best we can. We've seen some bad times, but they got better. Come on, girl, take my hand. You can count on me. You know my love always comes with a lifetime guarantee. You can count on me, girl, just believe me. You know my love always comes with a lifetime guarantee. We both know it's getting stronger. Hour by hour, day by day. I gotta take a guess and a couple dollars. Tonight let's pack our bags, let tomorrow be on our way. Let's bet on you and me together. We'll walk the line the best we can. We've seen some bad times, but they got better. Come on, girl, take my hand. You can count on me. You know my love always comes.
Right here, all you do is click and go, and you can get more information about the band and where they're headed and what they're doing about their music. And it's www.redneckincmusic.com. And we've actually blown through 90 minutes, believe it or not, and we are just about out of time. Just wanted to thank everybody for joining us each and every Saturday, coming to our show and listening to the craziness that goes on. Don't forget, we have our Friday night shows, too, called Grills Gone Wild. And we sometimes get crazy, but go back and listen to any of the shows that you missed. We always have a lot of good talent and interesting art that come on our shows. And on that note, I'm going to shut everything down and call it a day. Everyone have a nice weekend. Go out and grill something or stay out of trouble at least. And everyone have a nice weekend. We will see you next Friday night. Take care. I'm going to play a closing song by Moonshine Bandits, which is called Whiskey in My Soul. Everyone have a nice weekend.
Who would have thought this music thing was going to go this far? I never asked for this. I never asked for this fast living. The women, the whiskey, craziness. There's whiskey in my soul. Hey, Bernie, go.
I've been drifting down that open highway. Finger in the air because I do things my way. The next town's where I call home.
Yeah.
I throw a shot glass down in a light of a smoke. Always raise a little hell. Never do what I'm told. I was born with that whiskey in my soul.
Dirt with my bottle and my glass, with a marble headstone saying I was a badass. Born on a bar stool, still living fast. Some whiskey in my soul on the day that I passed. Kiss my kids goodbye, tell them daddy was a rebel, living life on the road with his foot on the pedal. Now it's backstage rooms where the devil likes to pray, with his coke on the counter and a blowing long legs. And my great grandfather was a California bootlegger. Now I sell my own booze, I guess I'm a booze maker. Life's been a dice game, go ahead and call it. Felons on my payroll with a couple alcoholics. Put me in the dirt with my jack in my glass, with the marble headstone saying I was a badass. Born on a bar stool, man, I live fast. And those that didn't like me to kiss my
I've been drifting down that open highway. Finger in the air cause I do things my way. The next town's where I call home. Throw a shot glass down in a light of a smoke. Always raise a little hell. Never do what I'm told. I was born with that whiskey in my soul. I'm a highwayman on a midnight run. Granddaddy always said to never trust no one. And I've had my ups and I've had my downs, and the sheriff wants me out of my hometown. I was born with that whiskey in my soul.
Get it, boy. Well, it all started back when I was young, because pops had liquor and pops had guns. Born bred outlaw, second to none. The toughs to some in the trailer park or slums. Broke as hell, taking money from bums. Just get out on the street and push, wait for fun. Gotta make rent, get her done. One tough little badass, scared of no one. Born in the green bee with the cattle and braids. Getting tore up drunk in the old corn maze. Lost in my brain, off the hash for days. Stuck in the pen, making Pruno in the cage. On the back of the tailgate, keep shooting mount plate. Busting off shotgun shots in the sun bay. Raising up my daughter, hope I'm doing this the right way. With whiskey in my soul on this lonely highway.
I've been drifting down that open highway. Finger in the air cause I do things my way. The next town's where I call home. I throw a shot glass down in a light of a smoke. Always raise a little hell, never do what I'm told. I was born with that whiskey in my soul.